everybody that's online today. Welcome, online folks. We're glad to have you. If you are out there, which I know you are, you're watching, let us know where you are physically located. I love scrolling through after service, looking at all the different cities and states, sometimes countries that are represented on Sunday morning. So please let us know where you're watching from. And also, if you have any needs or prayer requests, man, we would love to connect with you right now. We have a team that's ready to answer questions and pray for people online. So please do so. We're so glad that you're with us. It's an honor to have you with us online. So thank you. And everybody that's in the room today, man, it's so great to see you as well. And I see everybody's big, bright, white name tags, white and red name tags. My name is Robin, if I haven't met you yet. And welcome to the Promised Land. We have so many new faces. And so it's helpful for the new folks to see a name and get to know people closer. And it's also good for those of us that come a lot and you see people a lot and you don't know their name. And you're like, hey, bro, what's going on? Hey, sis, or whatever. And so now you know. You can say, Dale, what's up, man? Great to see you, man. So anyway, welcome today. Glad you're here. Make yourself at home. This coming Wednesday night, we have First Wednesday worship, where we gather together, we take communion together as a church family, and we would love to have you come with us. We're going to be making a huge change this week for 1 month only. We're going to have our first Wednesday gathering up on our hill, up on the top. So bring a lawn chair, bottle of water, wear something casual and cool, because it will be probably toasty up there. But by the time we get started at 7 o'clock, it'll be nice. There's a nice little breeze, and it'll just be great to worship outside, worship outdoors, and come ready. Come ready to worship God. It's gonna be nice. That's 7 o'clock on Wednesday, first Wednesday of the month, which, is that the first? I think it is. First Wednesday is September 1st. So I have a word for you today that I want to share with you from the Bible, and it really has to do with how we make decisions. How do we choose the path? Now, I know some people are on a big decision right now, like a life-changing path decision, trying to figure out which way to go. Others of you may just be trying to figure out, should I go to Chipotle or should I go to Taco Bell, okay? I can help you with that one. I can tell you that right now. But so no matter what level of decision it is, we struggle sometimes. I want you to know I struggle. I know you may think that I'm exempted from that because I'm the pastor. God has elevated me to fly high. And I don't think about things that you think about or worry about things that you are worried about or struggle with things. But I do. I have opinions about the president, and I have opinions about the ex-president, and I have opinions about the Supreme Court and about state government and so many things that are in the news today. Afghanistan. I mean, I watch that stuff, and I know you may not think I'm that way because this is all you see of me. You see me as the pastor. You see me dressed like this. And it's so funny to me when I go to HEB and I'm in shorts and a tank top. Not tank top, but it's just shirt. I don't go quite that level. But shirt, shorts, hat, baseball cap. And I see one of y'all walking by. And I'm like, hey, y'all just keep on walking. You don't recognize me because you don't see this. You're used to this. Little mic attached to my ear. Like, this is me. I live here. This is where I live. I remember when I was a little kid and I would see a teacher or something at the grocery store. I'm like, what is she doing here? She doesn't belong here. She's at school. That's in my mind. That's where she belongs. Isn't that weird? And sometimes I'll see you and I'll say, hey, what's going on? And I didn't recognize you. I'm just in shorts and a shirt. But in your mindset, you don't think about that. And I think sometimes you may think that I don't deal with, you know, some of the struggle. And I just want you to know I do. There's a lot of heavy things that I have to decide. And, you know, about that political stuff and things in that nature, I have to think about that, read the news, watch it, vote, all that kind of stuff. I have that mindset, but I never want this pulpit to become a soapbox. And so I have to navigate that and make decisions about that. And that's very tough. But this pandemic is also another area where I'm trying to I have to make decisions myself, you know, and like I have an opinion about the vaccine, I have an opinion about masks, I have an opinion about spacing out and quarantining and all these different things that have been coming up. And in my household, everybody in our house has gotten COVID over the last year and a half, except for my daughter. She's the only one of our family members that haven't gotten it. I got it last year. Other of my family have gotten it recently. And other people in our home that have taken care of our daughter have gotten it, but she hasn't. And if you're not familiar with my family, my daughter's our firstborn. She's 19. And she has a severe disability where she cannot walk or talk or do things. And so for her, a sickness like this is life-threatening. Pneumonia is her number one risk. So if she gets the flu or even just a common cold, it can turn into pneumonia, and that can really be devastating because she has a hard time clearing her lungs. Can you have him not click that pen? Thank you so much. See, I struggle with things. There's things going on in my life that I have to deal with. So here's a picture of my daughter. I took this week. She's in bed, and that's Perry, the therapy pug that we have with her. And isn't she cute? Check out this next picture. You can get more of a top view of her. But my daughter's in bed most of the day. She's in wheelchairs. We take care of her 24/7. We have to, you know, here's what was very difficult. When we had COVID going in to take care of her, we had to do that. We didn't have a choice. And so here she is. I mean, she's just rocking and rolling. She didn't even know there's a such thing as COVID, right? So she's just loving life, having a good time. But the decisions that we're making have been heavy, have been difficult. How do we do this? How do we live our life? Making decisions, trying to decide what to do. And Perry is a therapy pug for all of us. Me too. She's so cute. We need therapy dogs and cats and birds and chameleons or whatever you have in your household. You need people in your life and other things. But how do we, with all those things, how do we know what to do? This week there was a person in the church that reached out to me. They said, "Will you go pray for my father who's in the hospital who has COVID?" Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but the hospital's opening up somewhat for some people to go in and visit, and not just a general patient, but people with COVID. You can go in and visit them in the hospital. And so I had to make the decision, do I go pray for this person? You know, does it matter? Will I get COVID if I go in there? Will I get it and give it to my daughter? Will I give it to someone else? Will I be getting in the way? There's so much work being done. This man was in the ICU at the hospital here. Will I get in the way of the nurses and the doctors and what they're doing? So there's those facts that are going through my mind that I'm having to decide what to do. And then there's the other facts that Jesus went and prayed for a leper. A leper colony was highly contagious and deadly at that point of the world. He did that. James 5:14, 15 and 16 says, "If there's any sick among you, lay hands on them, anoint them with oil, and they will be healed." So there's those facts. I have these facts over here, and I have these facts over here. How do I know what to do? I'm sure you have had to make these decisions in your personal life and about the sickness, about work, about family stuff. Those of you that are just getting here at Texas State. You're trying to decide what you're going to do, how you're going to study, what group of people you're going to hang out with, if you're going to work, if you're not going to. I mean, there's just so many different things. And it seems like there's layers. It's not just one thing, but one thing's layered on top of another, on top of another, on top of another. And that is stressful, right? Anybody else have decisions they have to make? That's just tough, man. So what that can do is it can really put a lot of pressure on us, be very heavy. How do I make these decisions? Some of the pressure that we have is from outside of us, not even ourselves, but people that put expectations upon us. Like, you know, this is the kind of kid you need to be. This is the kind of husband you need to be. This is the kind of mother that you need to be. We feel pressures from the outside upon us, maybe from people we don't even know, maybe from people that we do know. And so that's heavy, intense pressure. And sometimes the way we deal with that pressure is we just disengage and there's a staleness that happens, a numbness that happens. And this can lead to apathy and at some point despondence, where we're just disconnected from people, disconnected from life. And it's really hard to know how to move through these decisions. Well, I'm glad the Bible has something to say about this. The Bible has something beautiful to say about this. Romans, the 8th chapter and the 6th verse. I want to read this together. In fact, the whole chapter of Romans 8 is just a beautiful chapter. I want to encourage you to read it this week, a little homework assignment. But let me read to you verse 6 of Romans chapter 8, and we'll have it on the screen here. So letting your fleshly nature control your mind leads to what? Death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and, come on, what's that last word?
Peace.
Now, the first part says fleshly nature. Let's just leave this scripture up here for a second. So letting your fleshly nature, what does that mean? That's kind of a churchy word, a biblical word that you may not use a whole lot in this day and time. I mean, obviously we know flesh is our skin. When you read it in the Bible, it is talking about our humanness. Another word in the Bible is carnality. I mean, that's your carnal nature, your fleshly nature, the part of you that is earthly, humanly, you know? So some of you may have thought that's all there is to you, is your flesh. Well, I'm glad you came today to hear that there's more to you than just your flesh, and you don't have to live by just what your brain is telling you, your fleshly mindset. Because if you just allow, it says just letting your fleshly nature control your mind is going to lead to death. And let me just tell you, it's not necessarily just when your pulse stops and your heart starts beating, your brain stops functioning, and you're dead, and we have your funeral. There's a lot of people that die before they die. That their persona and their energy, their spirit, all those parts of them have wasted away because they're living by their mind, their flesh. And the Bible's very clear here that's going to, if you just live by your mind, that's going to be destructive to you. But man, I'm so thankful for this next sentence. But letting the Spirit, and when you see that capital S, little Bible lesson here for you. Whenever you see a capital S in the Bible, that's God. That's God's Holy Spirit. Some translations will say Holy Spirit. Some will say Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, same thing. Capital S, Spirit, same thing. Those are all God and His Spirit that is present and able to move with us. So letting the Spirit, that's the word letting is important. Some of you may not realize that it is actually up to us to allow this all-powerful God into our life. You may think that He's just going to grab a hold of you and control you. That's not the way God is. God is very loving, and He's allowing us to allow Him in. So letting the Spirit control your mind Man, this is a new concept, that the Holy Spirit of God can come into our being, our presence, and control what's going on. So this is the only point today. I want you to grab a hold of this. If you want peace, then let the Spirit control your mind. If you want to be able to make some great decisions, let the Spirit control your mind. If you want to know how to move throughout the day, day to day, let the Spirit control your mind. Amen. If you want to know what degree plan to follow or what class to take or if you should date someone, I mean, you can allow the Spirit to affect every decision of your life. Right? Man, he is ready. The Holy Spirit is ready to move on your behalf, ready to make a difference in your life. Look at Romans 8:14, just a few verses down. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Now, I said Romans 8 was a great chapter. It is. It talks about this flesh and spirit a lot. So if you want to get more in depth on this, please read the chapter. There's another verse that says, if you don't have the Spirit of God, you're none of His. But this Spirit, this text right here in verse 14 says, if you are led by the Spirit of God. So for all who are led by the Spirit of God, that means the Spirit of God is going in front of you, going ahead of you, preparing the way for you. Man, that's great, isn't it? That God wants to prepare the way for you, to lead you. And to be led by the Spirit is a decision that we make. Because it says again, for all who are led by it. So that means that there's some that choose not to do that. Man, I'm praying and believing that there's going to be a group of people in San Marcos, I mean a large group of people, Promised Land, that says, I want to be led by nothing else than by the Spirit of God. And that the word lead is such an important thing. Like I said earlier, you might think that he's going to stick his claws in you and drag you. Like, God's not going to drag you along. It doesn't say for all who are drugged by the Spirit of God. It says for all who are led by the Spirit of God. So that means my eyes are open. I'm looking forward. The Spirit of God is in front of me. And I am going to go where the Spirit leads me. I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God. So instead of being spiritually led, there's some people that are emotionally led. Anybody know anybody that's emotionally led? Maybe you don't want to raise your hand. Maybe you're emotionally led. Some people are facts driven. I'm going to get the facts. I'm going to get the facts. I'm going to get the facts. I'm going to weigh them all out. I'm going to do some sort of, scientific process and I'm going to analyze everything. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to be led by facts or led by my gut. That's emotional. I'm going to just, whatever I feel, I'm going to do that. Some people pride themselves in being spontaneously led. I'm just going to go with it. I'm just going to, whatever, No strategy, no planning, no preparation. So you've got all people all over the spectrum. Some people are led by fear. They're fear-led. And that's a negative thing when it comes to anything besides God. When we are led, that's very emotional based as well, that we sense this negativity and we're just gonna move to avoid certain things. We're gonna be pushed around by other people, by things, by the lack of solid, proof of the future. I'm not sure what this is going to be like, so I'm afraid that I'm not going to make it, and I'm going to make decisions based on that. All those elements are good, honestly. Emotions are good. Fear in the right place is good. Facts are wonderful. Scientific method is beautiful. That's great. But there's a huge difference between being led by those things and having those in your toolbox. Yeah, have those in your toolbox. Yeah, I have emotions. God gave me emotions as a human being, and that's obviously something that He wanted me to have. So I want them to be in me, and I want to be aware of my emotions, but I'm not going to be led by them alone. I also have facts in my life. Like I said earlier, you know, I'm looking at the scientific facts about things, and I'm looking about all the data that's coming in and how that is going up and down and changing and different things. I'm looking at that. I'm thinking about that. That's important. That's good. But I'm not going to be driven by that or led by that. I'm going to be led by the Spirit of God. I'm going to have all those things with me in my toolbox, and I'm going to use them when God wants me to use them, but I'm also going to be completely led by the Spirit of God. So here are some things that we have to be aware of. These are super basic, but if we're going to be led by the Spirit, these three principles have to be received. Here's the first one. Number one, we have to believe that God's Spirit exists. Now, that's very basic, isn't it? I know a lot of you are like, well, check, I know that God's Spirit exists. Okay, well, you may not realize that the Spirit of God is alive, is present. That's important to know that God's Spirit actually exists. The Spirit of God is God. The Holy Spirit, when we see Holy Spirit or Spirit or Holy Presence, Holy Ghost, those are God. That is a persona of God presented to us in 2021. That brings us to number two. We have to believe that God's Spirit is available to us. So it's not just hovering around in a dimension above us. The Spirit of God is not just available to us when we die and go to heaven, but the Spirit of God is available to us right now. And if that idea or concept is new to you, you haven't heard that, haven't understood that, then you can read in the book of Acts all about the Holy Spirit becoming known and becoming manifest in the presence of people. Starts in chapter 2. It says that a wind, a mighty wind, comes into the room and fills the entire room where they were sitting. Acts 2. And that's the holy presence of God, the Holy Ghost of God, like a mighty rushing wind flowing, coming. It says it filled the room. And then it says that it didn't stop there, but it filled the people also. So the presence of God is in the room, and the presence of God is in the people. And then there was physical evidence that they could actually verify that these people did have the presence of God in their life. There were outward signs that the presence of God was in them. They began to speak in another language, which was supernatural. It was divine. They couldn't have done this on their own. So that was what happened. And then you keep reading in the book of Acts that it was poured out again. In Acts 6, Acts 8, Acts 14, Acts 19, the Spirit of God keeps being poured out. So if you're not aware of that, man, I'm glad you're here today to hear that God's presence is available to you. I mean, there are some churches within the sphere of Christianity that don't believe number two. They believe that there was a time when God's holy presence was available, His Holy Spirit was available to believers like you and me in the book of Acts, but that has since ceased. They're called cessationists. They believe that the Holy Spirit is ceasing to be present in the world today. Just for complete clarity, that's not what we believe. We believe that the Holy Spirit is ready, willing, and able to move on your behalf. That the Holy Spirit is ready, willing, and able to lead you as you go to work tomorrow. The Holy Spirit is ready to lead you as you open up your inbox. Woo! I need that. Come on. Holy Spirit is ready and available. But number three, the Holy Spirit of God makes a difference. So, as I said earlier, you have these tools in your box. You have these things in your life. You have school. You have relationships. You have a church body around you. You have a pastor in your life. Some of you are married. You have a spouse. You have family members in your life. That's all good. Some of you are going to school. You're getting an education. Great. Some of you are going to the School of Hard Knocks. Great. That's good. Get some experience, get some education, read some books. Come on, you know, expand yourself. All that's good. But what I'm telling you here in number three is that there are supernatural, divine power of God available to come into your life tomorrow, today, and make a difference, make an actual difference beyond just all the other tools in your life added up. So if it was a mathematical equation, you'd have family and work and experience and money in the bank and your education and all these things. You add all these things up, equal my life, the status of my life, because I've added up all these things. What I'm here to tell you today is that the presence of God, the Holy Spirit of God, wants to take all of those things of your life, those skills, those experiences, those giftings that you've have in your life, and He, the Holy Spirit, wants to do something with that to elevate and make more powerful, make more potent, make more effective than if you were just to add up those things on their own. Man, we need that in our life. When people look at Erica and I, and they see our life and the life that we live, and they say, wow, you're a normal person. You know, they like us or whatever, some people. And then we hang out with them, go to dinner, whatever. And then we tell them about our daughter. There's this huge shift in their mindset about us. And it's so beautiful because it gives complete honor and glory to God. How can you be the way you are? How can you have a life of peace? How can you not be completely stressed out and thinking she's going to die all the time? Or how can you live with the pressure that you might be the one that gives her something that may kill her? How can you be present with other people? How can you be present with your sons, with each other? How can you leave and go on vacation? I could not do any of that stuff. I couldn't be on this platform right now talking to you if it was not for the presence of God in my life. Are we going to clap? Or are we not going to? Oh, I don't know. I mean, you don't have, I'm just, we're clapping for God. You're not clapping for me. I'm telling you, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit in my life, I would be a complete disaster. I would not be up here speaking, first of all, because my natural tendency is to be an introvert, and I don't like talking to anybody ever. That's just my natural tendency. That's why a lot of times at HEB, I do have a hood on and I have my sunglasses on, just to be transparent with you today. But because of me saying, Lord, if you'll take my life and do whatever, I'm available. Take my life and use me, Lord, for your kingdom. Use me for your glory. If you want me to speak, if you don't want me to speak, if you want me to go somewhere, if you want me to go to the hospital and pray, I'll pray. I went to the hospital. I prayed because I felt the Spirit leading me to go there. And so I prayed for this gentleman. And I, you know what I got to do? I got to speak to the nurses, and I got to talk to them and encourage them very quickly, very gently, and then I was out. Why did I do that? Because I just felt the urging of the Spirit. It's time to go. So I did that. But sometimes it's an urging of the Spirit to take the plans that I had and put them on the side and do something that I had not planned. And for some of us, that's very difficult because we're so attached to our habits. We're so attached to what other people will think of us. We're so scared that it may not work if we just allow the Holy Spirit to change and to lead us. But I'm really praying and believing that you will start saying, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Lord, I want to be Spirit-led. I'm going to allow you to lead me. I want to be in that group when they say, for those who are led by the Spirit, I want to be in that group. I don't want to be in the group that say, well, for those that just left it up to themselves, man, I don't want to be in that group. I want to be led by the Spirit of God. Being led by the Spirit of God, letting Him control your mind, you're going to be led to life, abundant life. You're going to be led to peace. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, you're children of God. It's a beautiful thing to be led by the Spirit of God. So this is why we sing songs like Fresh Wind that we just sang. In fact, I want the band to come out. I want us to sing it again. Fresh Wind, and we're going to sing more of these songs because the lyrics of this song is doing exactly what I'm telling you and preaching to you about today. Come on, wind of God, blow over me. And I'm singing that. And what's really cool about coming to church on Sunday morning is that you're singing that as an individual, and you're singing, God, I want you to flow and blow your presence across me. I want to receive the power of your presence. That's a beautiful part of that song, the power of your presence. And then there's that part of this out, you know, prophesy and sing. Prophesy and sing. What does that mean? Prophesy. Prophesy and sing. That's a movement of the Holy Spirit. And some of you may say, well, man, that sounds like prophecy. That's kind of strange. That's kind of weird. It doesn't have to be at all. In fact, it's extremely safe to prophesy over yourself the Word of God. Just open up the Bible. You can read the words of Jesus. Get to the red letter words in your Bible. Those are the words of Jesus. Man, when you begin to speak over your life the words of Jesus, you are prophesying over yourself. And what that means is, prophesy means I am speaking into my life or into someone else's life. Or if I was to prophesy to the church, I'm speaking over the church. Something that is not as though it is. And that's really what living by faith is all about. Living by faith is living by not by sight, but what the Word of God says. So, man, if you're reading the Word of God, you're like, man, that's not my life. That sounds good. I want that in my life. Prophesy over your life. So you're doing that individually. But what's beautiful about being in a church like this is we're doing it collectively. And we're doing it as a group. We're doing it as a church family. We're singing over this city. San Marcos longs for the presence of the Lord. Man, we can get so bitter and we can get so upset. We can be so, you know, we can complain so much about a certain tool like the government, local government, national government, whatever it is. That is just a one resource, one tool. Man, bless that God. Put people in office that are going to live according to your principles, Lord. Get those out that are not going to live according to your principles, whatever. That's just one part. We're not going to be led by that or put our faith in that. Instead, we're going to put our faith in the Holy Spirit of God and just begin to prophesy over our city, prophesy over Texas State, our family, our health, our life, our finances, and just begin to sing over it and prophesy over it and welcome the holy presence of the Lord to lead us and literally control us. Let's let Him do that. That's why we sing. That's why we pray. That's why we give ourselves to God. I want us to do that right now. I want us to just surrender. Would you stand to your feet right now? And we have just a few moments. I want us to pray. And if you all just pray with me, even those of you online, wherever you are watching right now, the Holy Spirit of the Lord is present with you. So, Lord, we don't want you just to be around us. We want you to be in us. And we know you can't be in a vessel that is unholy or not pure. So let's just surrender our hearts right now to Jesus. Would you just say, Lord, I give you my life. I surrender my heart to you right now. Please forgive me of my sins. I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior today. And Jesus Christ, I believe you are my Savior. I believe you're my Lord. And I give you my life today, Jesus. I trust in your forgiveness. I trust in your redemption, that you would cleanse me and make me pure, not by my own works. Come on, tell him right now. It's not by my might or my power. It's not by my ability, God. I'm not going to leave here and go clean myself up and come back to you, God. I'm going to surrender my life to you right now. And I want you to do a work in me. I want your Holy Spirit to begin to clean me and help me and renew me. I cannot do this on my own. But I am welcoming your Spirit to remake me, reshape me. Come on, let's be honest with God right now. Lord, I want you to shape me. I want you to categorize me. I want you to make me into the person that you originally intended for me to be. Not broken, not confused, not subjected to the brokenness of this world, but Lord, free. I want to be free by your Spirit. So come on, right now, let's just welcome him into our life. Just say, fill me, Lord, with your Spirit. Fill me, Lord, with your peace, your joy, your love, your goodness, your kindness, your meekness. Come on, welcome him in right now. Give him a blank canvas. Say, come on, God, paint a masterpiece on my life. Take me from where I am and make me into who you want me to be. I welcome your Spirit in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's sing together right now.
Come on, sing it out, church. Father, we want to be filled with you, Jesus. Oh, lead us, Lord Jesus. Oh, sing a new song. He deserves it all. Yes. Oh, Jesus. If you believe this, I need you to sing this with me. Come on. And death could not hold the veil tore before. Yeah, that's right.
His brightness almost a sin and shame.
The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life. And you have no rival. You have no rival. You have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. And yours is the kingdom. And yours is the glory. And yours is the name above. Come on, church, if you believe this, sing it out. And death could not hold you.
Come on. The devil before.
So good. We want you to take this. Some of you are dabbling in the presence of God. Some of you are swimming in the presence of God. Some of you are just surrendered all the way. Wherever you are on the spectrum, let's keep going. Let's keep going deeper and deeper to the presence of God. I pray that His face, the face of the Lord, shines upon you and is gracious to you and gives you peace and rest as you go out into the world to be the salt, the light, and a city set on a hill, making a difference wherever you go. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful week. We love you so much. God bless you.
Want you and me to see darkness, it feels like I'm born.